Hey friends, and welcome to season 4. I'm so excited for today's episode, but before we jump into it, I do have something I need to ask you. If you love this podcast, if you are an avid listener, if you are the ones that were in my DMs all throughout my break asking me, when is the podcast coming back? I'm so excited. I have to have you every single week. Then can I ask that you consider giving a $1 pledge to the podcast? The podcast is not free for me, at least on my end. It's definitely free for you, but it does cost money on my end to host the podcast, to have the equipment, to host a website, etc. And I want to be able to continue to provide this podcast for you. So if you have it within your heart, head to the show notes and consider giving a $1 monthly pledge to the podcast. If we can gather just 500 people at $1 a month, I feel like I sound like Caleb, but if we can just get 500 people or 1,000 listeners at $1 a month, then my worries of the podcast continuing on can be alleviated. And instead, I can focus my energies into providing more content, more Bible studies, more things for you. So consider that. If you are not in a place where you can do $1, I understand. But if you are, please consider. And as a token of my appreciation, there will be a free gift for you at the very end, a coupon code where you can get 40% off my website, and that will be off of your entire order. So 40% off any courses, any online resources, anything that is there, minus the apparel, because that's a totally different website, but 40% off my entire site on your entire order as my gift to you for pledging $1 a month. Thank you guys. I love you and enjoy today's episode. Welcome to God is Within Her, a devotional podcast for the everyday Christian woman. Here you will grow your faith, grow a closer relationship with God, and grow your confidence through Christ, not self. Every week we will dive into the Word of God so we will fill our minds with God's truths to live not as the world tells us to live, but to live boldly as godly women who fear the Lord. I believe our most powerful weapon is the Word of God. It's our sword of the Spirit. And it's time that we start using it to conquer our fears and doubts that we aren't good enough or we can't hear God's voice, and transform into empowered women of God who can overcome any obstacle, all in the name of Jesus. If you have been going through the motions and you're ready for guidance for your daily walk with God, you are in the right place. This is Valerie Reynolds, your new bestie and mentor, and this is God is Within Her. Let's get our hearts ready for today's word. Friends, welcome back to God is Within Her. On today's episode, we are going to be in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. And if you are an Instagram subscriber, if you follow me on Instagram at Val_Reynolds, they offer a subscription where you can give exclusive content to your subscribers. It's like $2.99, I think. I share my morning reading with you when I wake up. You guys probably see it on my stories. I wake up at about 5:10, 5:15 in the morning. I share a reading plan for everybody to join on the YouVersion Bible app. I pick one for the week and I kind of stick with it throughout the whole week. We can do a little discussion at the end. A lot of you guys join that. But right after, I dive into the Word. I dive into my Bible. So I don't just read a devotional, and this is not what the podcast is about, but if you want my 2 cents on devotionals and what do you need to do during quiet time, I firmly believe that devotionals, or if you do a YouVersion reading plan, I feel like those are pre-workout, if you will. Like we're gearing up to exercise in the morning, not physically exercise, because, you know, I'm not built that way. Maybe you are, but I'm not. Good for you. Kudos for you. But the reading plans are kind of like my pre-workout. I sit down with my coffee. I take a few sips. I'm not quite fully awake. I still have junk in my eyes. And I read through the YouVersion reading plan. It wakes me up. I highlight some things. I share it on my stories. And by then, I'm ready to dive into the Word. And I just want to remind you that devotionals are great. Okay, if you're asking what devotionals do I need to do, what devotionals do you recommend, I feel like that's a good question to ask. It's a good place to get started. But just remember that those things are not replacements for the Word of God. And also with devotionals, we do have to be careful because we got to make sure that those devotionals are biblically sound and that they're pointing towards the gospel, that they're pointing towards Jesus, that they're not so much a like self-help type of devotional or just like a good motivational speech type of devotional. So those are okay, but we want meat, right? We want to be believers who aren't immature, like how Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about in his letters in the New Testament. We don't want to be infants in our faith that are still just kind of stuck on milk. We want good, solid food. We want meat. And so I really encourage you with your quiet time that you dive into the meat, and the meat is your Bible, and don't be intimidated by diving into it. And if you need help doing that, you can go to my website, valreynolds.com, and I have some resources for you there. I have some courses. Some of them are free. Some of them cost just a few dollars. I have some digital downloads, e-workbooks that you can, and they, one of them is even titled, I Want to Start Reading My Bible, but I Don't Know Where to Start. So make sure you go and check those out if you need some guidance. That's a little bunny trail. Let me come back to what I'm talking about here. So the reason I brought all of that up is because if you are a subscriber to Instagram, I went through this passage last week. I want to say it was last Friday. I went through this passage. It's going to be Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he's arrested. And if you've been in church for any, if you grew up in church like me, you've heard this story multiple times. You can read it in Matthew. You can read it in Luke. You can read it in John. In this case, I've been studying the book of Mark, and so that's what I'm reading to you. So it's going to sound familiar, but I want to bring a different perspective to it that perhaps you've never thought of before, okay? So I'm going to read it to you, Mark 14, verse 32 through 42. This is the Garden of Gethsemane right after the Last Supper, right before Jesus is arrested. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping again. Because their eyes were heavy, they did not know what to say to him. Returning a third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So the part I really want to focus on for today's episode is Jesus isolating himself, praying by himself, and the specifics behind his prayer and the reason why he is praying that. Because we need to remember that while Jesus is God, He's fully God, but he's also fully human. And the beauty behind our Messiah, our Savior, being fully human is the fact that he endured everything that we endure. Okay, Jesus, while he was sinless and he lived a perfectly righteous life, that doesn't mean his life was absent of sorrow. It doesn't mean his life was absent of sadness. I think of when Lazarus died, even though Jesus knew he was about to raise him from the dead, he wept. Jesus wept over his friend. So Jesus experienced rejection. He experienced sadness. He experienced sorrow, distress, and he experienced all of these things just like we do. And it's a false ideology to believe that as Christians that somehow God is against us or that he is an unrighteous or unholy God because we have trouble. If anything, the Bible actually warns us and says, when you have troubles of many kind, am I right? We are warned that you will have trouble. And so it's a fake ideology to believe that when life is good, then we have God's blessing and God is good. But when life is bad or we're distressed or worried that somehow God is bad or that God has left us, that's not correct. Because Jesus himself went through the exact same, what we would consider a negative emotion. He went through those things too. And this is a perfect example of that Jesus, he says, he was deeply distressed and troubled. And how many of you have ever had moments, maybe you're in that season right now, where you have felt deeply distressed and troubled? You feel deeply distressed and troubled, and you even probably could pray this prayer word for word. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He was so overwhelmed with sorrow. It's not mentioned here in the book of Mark, but in the other accounts, in the other gospels, it says that he was so distressed that he literally cried tears of blood. That is how distressed he was. Now, let's ask ourselves why. Why was Jesus distressed? And for forever and ever and ever, and I don't think this is wrong. I just think that there's more to the story. He's about to get arrested. I know how this story ends. He's about to get arrested. He's about to go in front of the Sanhedrin. Then he goes in front of the Roman trial, and then they exchange him for Barabbas, right? The crowd picks the murderer, Barabbas, over Jesus, and Jesus dies on the cross. And then we also know that he dies on the cross. He dies for 3 days, and then he raises from the dead, and hallelujah, we're saved, right? All that stuff. He completes the prophecy. But once again, Jesus is fully human. He's fully God, but he's also fully human. And I don't know about you, but I would be a little scared to know that I am about to die, right? And so that's kind of where the story ended for me. Okay, yeah, Jesus is deeply distressed, deeply troubled. His soul is overwhelmed because he knows he's about to die. And we know, and as humans, that death can be a scary thing, that it shouldn't be, and I have my reasons why I say that, but we consider death as that's it. Like, that's the worst thing, right? Like, we don't want to experience death. We don't want our loved ones around us to experience death because how much sorrow and pain that causes us. So that's where my mind went, right? Oh, Jesus is just distressed and deeply, deeply distressed, deeply troubled because he knows he's about to die. And here's where the beauty of commentary comes into play. If you are reading your Bible and you are wondering how people get deeper insight, I would advise you to use commentary, okay, that you can actually go and seek out these answers for yourself. It's not like me. I know a lot of these things. Commentary helps me out a lot whenever I'm studying my Bible. One of my favorites is enduringword.com. You can also go to Blue Letter Bible, I believe, and then there's like BibleStudyTools.com, stuff like that. You can go to those things and there's commentary. There are theologians, people who are extremely intelligent, who have done the research, and they give you deeper insight. And as I was reading through enduringword.com commentary on this passage when I studied it last week, they gave me a deeper insight. So I'm not even going to take credit for this. I'm just reiterating it back to you. And what the commentary mentioned is, yes, he is overwhelmed. And if we ask ourselves, why is he overwhelmed? Maybe he's overwhelmed because he knew he was going to die. But I believe now that there's a deeper spiritual meaning behind it. That surface level, superficially, he was afraid of death because he was fully human, just like we naturally would more than likely be afraid of death. The physical, it's a physical fear. But we also know, if you've read anything about Jesus and his missions and his teachings, he has spiritual meanings behind everything. And is not the gospel a spiritual book? That this is not about, that our life here on earth, and I've said it on multiple episodes, our life here on earth is not about the temporary around us, right? This body that we are living in is temporary. Our pain on this world is temporary because we are promised eternal life. That's a spiritual thing. We worry so much about physical things and we worry less about spiritual things, but in reality, the spiritual is more meaningful, it's more powerful. It's the one that actually determines eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell. Should we not be more worried about the spiritual over the physical? And that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard perspective to switch over, but that's what I want to challenge you with, because that's what I was challenged with when I read this. For the longest time, I thought it was a physical thing, that Jesus is afraid of the physical death. But when you think more about it, what did Jesus' physical death mean in a spiritual standpoint? Let me give you a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I want you to think about that. Jesus went from being no sin to being sin on the cross. What does sin do but separate us from God? And what is the consequence of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. What is going to happen to the people who do not accept Jesus as their Savior and they have to pay the consequence of sin on their own? Because Jesus' death on the cross does not atone for their sin. You have to believe in Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior in order for his payment, that's what atonement means, his payment on that cross for your sin to count. If you reject Jesus, then that means you have to pay your own sin debt in full. And that wage, that payment is death, and that is the wrath of God. That is what hell is going to be. It is the absence of God. I want you to think about that. Hell is not a party 24/7 where you can just sin as much as you want. It is the full absence of God. It is the wrath of God. Everything that's in this world that is good, that is excellent, I think of Philippians 4 when it says, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. To fix our eyes on what is pure and lovely and noble and admirable. All those things that you would describe as pure, lovely, noble, admirable, praiseworthy, excellent, good, loving. That's of God. That is of God. That's not Satan's deal. That is God's deal. So if you extract all of that goodness out of the world, all of God's goodness, God is love. So extract that out. God is peace. Extract that out. What are you left with? You're left with pain. You're left with torture. You're left with no peace. You're left with the opposite of peace. You're left with the opposite of love. So you're left with wrath. And that is what Jesus endured on the cross. Think about that. God actually had to turn away from his own son because he who was no sin became sin, which means it separated him from God, and he faced the entire wrath that God has for all sin, for sin that was before us, for sin that is now, and for sin that is to come. Fathom that for a second. Like, really ponder that. That's what Jesus is praying about when he says, take this cup from me. You can find that wording in a few different verses. Psalm 58:8 uses that word, like, take this cup. Isaiah 51:17, Jeremiah 25:15, they all speak of the cup. And the cup is a picture of God's wrath and judgment, that powerful wrath and that powerful judgment. And Jesus knew that becoming sin and dying on the cross meant complete and utter separation from his heavenly Father. He knew it meant that it was going to have to endure God's wrath in our place. And so maybe part of the deep distress and deep trouble was the physical, because he was afraid of dying. But even more so, I now believe that the reason he was deeply distressed and full of sorrow is because he understood the spiritual part of what it means to die on the cross. He understood the spiritual part of what it means to reject God. He understood the spiritual part of what it means to be a child of wrath, not a child of God. That the consequence of living in sin, of not choosing Jesus, not choosing God, and choosing to be in rebellion, choosing to live for yourself, choosing to live for your own desires, believing that you are God, that you can create things, that you can, what's the new thing, manifest, that you can manifest things, that just follow your heart, that this is how you were made, so this is how you have to be, that your internal desires are what you need to follow. No, 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 no. The heart is deceitful above all else. That's what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but following my heart, wrong. Our heart is deceitful above all else. If there's anything that you shouldn't follow, it probably shouldn't be your heart, because naturally we are sinful beings. My desire, I don't know about you, but my desires tend to lean away from God, if I'm being honest. My desire is I want to gossip. My desire is I want to lie. My desire is I want to sin. We naturally want to sin. We naturally want to be in rebellion. But think about the deeper spiritual consequence of that. And if that deeper spiritual consequence caused Jesus to be deeply distressed and troubled to the point where he was crying tears of blood, then we should take it just as seriously. And the other point that I want to make with this is also to change your perspective. That a lot of our pain, a lot of our worry, not that it's not valid worry, very much is, but when you're in those moments of worry, I want you to ask yourself, is this a physical worry or is it a spiritual worry? Because in reality, the things that are physical worries are going to wither and die. They're going to go away. Okay, you can read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon does a beautiful job of explaining this. He says it's all meaningless. Okay, King Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, who was rich beyond all imagination. One of my favorite passages is Ecclesiastes 2, and he talks about how he buys all these things. He says, I found all the pleasures that I could find, that he bought houses for himself, and he planted vineyards, and then he owned herds and flocks more than anybody in Jerusalem. He amassed silver and gold for himself and treasures for kings. He became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem. He denied himself nothing. He refused his heart no pleasure. He says, my heart took delight in all my labor, and it was my reward for all my toil. And then in verse 11, he says, yet when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless and chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He even goes on in some other of my favorites. It says, this too is meaningless. Like, what do I gain for being wise? This too is meaningless. I made everything beautiful. And each of them, we ate and we drank and we tried to find satisfaction. But it's all meaningless. It's all chasing after the wind. He has a beautiful perspective of this world is temporary. And that's what I want you to think about. It's not to devalue or to take away from your pain. Your pain is valid. Your worry is valid. But I know for me, when I'm in those states of worry and distress, I really have to do a better job sometimes of taking a step back, breathing, and reminding myself, who is my Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh means my provider. Who is my provider? It's not myself. It's God. That in the end, if I take a step back and really think about it, my financial problems are temporary. Illness is temporary. Even the pain of death is temporary. And if we can take that temporary, if we can think of the physical as temporary, and then also think about the spiritual, just like how I'm trying to convey this to what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, how I thought that he was just deeply distressed because of the physical death. But there is a deeper spiritual meaning behind it. I want you to think deeper spiritually whenever you are in those moments of worry or stress. Maybe you've lost a loved one. That pain is 100% valid. Maybe you're struggling with infertility. That pain is 100% valid. But if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, eventually that pain does become temporary, because eventually you will find yourself in heaven. You will find yourself in a place that has no pain, that has no sorrow. I'm going to flip all the way to Revelation to read you a passage on that. This is Revelation 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And I want you to think about that. That's Eden. That's what's described in Genesis when it says God's dwelling place is now among the people. Go and read Genesis 1 and 2. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord. The Lord's Spirit walked through Eden. He was with them. And it wasn't until sin happened, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, when sin happened, God had to be separated from humans, because we were now sinful. And the reason he has to be separated is because God is righteous. Righteous means absent of sin. That's what holy means, absent of sin. Holy can't be around sin. So he had to separate himself. And the whole Bible is this journey of God trying to be with his people and trying to find a way to be with his people, but he's holy and we're not. And that's why Jesus entering the picture is so beautiful, because he is our rite of passage to be able to still be sinless. But because Jesus paid for our sin, we can now be counted as righteous and holy, because our debt has been paid because of Jesus on the cross. But I want you to have that spiritual perspective, okay? Once again, it's not to take away or try to tell you just stuff your pain away, that you shouldn't feel pain, you shouldn't feel worry. No. Your worry, your pain of whatever you're going through is valid, but I want you to take a step back from it and also remind yourself that it will be temporary. It may feel really long while you're here on this earth, and may feel like it's never going to go away, and God may never answer your prayers. It may feel that way, may feel hopeless, but you can still have hope, because our end game as believers is not this world. Our end game as believers is not this broken and fallen world that's full of sin. Our end game is this new heaven and this new earth in Revelation 21. Our end game is heaven, and God promises us that he will wipe away the tears from our eyes. You won't feel that pain any longer, because he's going to wipe it away. There's going to be no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. That's what you're promised. So I want you to have that long line perspective today, even if you're going through that pain, even if you're going through the sorrow. Remind yourself, no matter how long it feels like it is here on this earth, it will be temporary. It will be. And have hope of the new heaven and new earth. That's what our end game is. So you guys remember that. Okay, you guys join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day. And Lord, I ask that just eyes be opened and that hearts be softened to receive this word that is given to them, Lord. And if anybody is full of pain or sorrow, Lord, I ask that you give them that hope, that you give them that peace, that you remind them what Philippians 4 says, to be anxious for nothing. So do not be anxious, but in all things through prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present that request to you, and your peace that transcends all understanding is going to guard their heart and their minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that over the listener right now who's heartbroken, who's full of worry, who feels like there's just not that upswing coming. Remind them that it is temporary. Remind them to have that spiritual long line approach to their life, Lord, that you do promise us a place where there is no pain, no mourning, and that you're going to wipe the tears from our eyes. And we thank you so much, Lord, for your son, Jesus. We just every time we read it, Lord, we are just in total shock and total awe and just in total gratitude that you were willing, that you love us so much, you were willing to sacrifice your one and only son as a payment for our wrongdoing, for our sin. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And for that, we just praise you and give you blessing even more so today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you guys so much for joining me on today's episode of God is Within Her. I'll catch you guys later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to God is Within Her. Before you go, if you can do me a huge favor and leave me a quick written review anywhere you consume the content, the more positive reviews this show has, the more kingdom impact we can have together. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of the new episodes that are coming out this season. Don't forget to check out my website, valreynolds.com. There you can find online resources that can help you get started with how to read your Bible. You'll also find some online courses that'll help you grow your faith and help you read your Bible. Lastly, if you absolutely love this podcast, if you are an avid listener and you would love to have a way to give back to the podcast, then head to the show notes and consider giving a $1 monthly pledge. That's it, just $1. But your contributions can help keep this podcast on the air. So please consider giving just $1 to show your love and support for the podcast. You guys have a great week. I'll catch you next time. Bye.